friends, it is Saturday, April 25th, 2015. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the cold, rainy Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN, whose website is republicbroadcasting.org. I also invite you to visit my website, spingola.com, for links for today's program. Simply click on the radio schedule button on the left. I also invite you to visit my other website, screeningsandyhook.com, for information about my new book, Screening Sandy Hook Causes and Consequences, which is now available as a paperback, hardback, or as a Kindle from Amazon. And of course, you can purchase the paperback and the hardback from me via my website. I also invite you to visit SpingolaSpeaks.net, a site that one of our listeners created. He maintains that site. If you wish to post comments about the program, then you may do so at this site. He also has a lot of other interesting links. Alrighty, during the program, email any questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kohlstrom. He is the author, well, his latest book is, it's a fabulous book. It is entitled Breaking the Spell, The Holocaust, Myth and Reality. I finished the book this morning, and I went through the entire book, all the appendixes, and it was the log, everything. I didn't read the index, but I read everything from the front cover forward, and it's just a fabulous, fabulous book. And I do hope that people will purchase that book. We are having a little bit of an issue attempting to get a hold of him. He does need to. He's set? Oh, perfect. Wonderful. Welcome to the program.
Can you hear me, Diana?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. There's a bit of an echo on my line. That's the only trouble.
Okay. Are you using a headset or?
Yeah. No, it's better now. It's fine.
Okay, great. Wonderful. You were on with me, gosh, it's been a couple of years, and of course I've kept up with what you're doing, and hopefully you heard my introduction wherein I talked about your book, which I finish this morning. As soon as we made contact last week, I bought the book via, I love Kindle books, and it's just such a comprehensive book. I just really appreciate it. And I took a lot of notes, and so I really appreciate the way that you've put the book together. Let's see, your website, whatreallyhappened.info. We need to let people know about that.
Yeah, that is the British revisionist website, and me and some friends put it together, and we've got a whole lot of basic primary source data from British intelligence decrypts on that website, so anyone can check it. The stuff I refer to in my book, you know, the data is there on that website.
Indeed, exactly. Would you venture to say that if the people, the general public, had access to all of the records that you mentioned in your book, if they had the records of, there's like four different kinds of primary sources, the records that were kept during the war, which you indicate are primary source data, if they had access to the International Committee of the Red Cross, those records, and if they had access to the death books and to the Bad Erlson records and to the British intelligence decrypts, and if they hadn't listened to the media, would they believe that there had been a Holocaust if they had records, if they had access to those official records?
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you for mentioning the absolute main primary source records for how many people lived and how many people died in the German labour camps. I think it's so good that we've just gone through. You mentioned about four of them, and these are unimpeachable sources. You know, they're from places collected during the war or just after the war, and there's no question they are authoritative. And as you say, they basically negate the concept of the Holocaust. They show, I mean, Jews had obviously had a terrible time in World War II, and obviously they were thrown out of their native country, Germany, and made to move eastwards. But what these figures show is not an intention to exterminate them. The intention to exterminate is kind of made up, and it's become the stuff of Hollywood movies. But what these figures show, for example, is that the proportion of Jews in the camps that were dying was not really any different from the proportion of Jews who were living in the camps. There's maybe around about 40% or a bit less of all the people living in the German labour camps who were Jewish, and that is more or less the proportion that die. Over the couple of years for which we have the data, Diana, we've got the basic data, 42 and 43, that is where it extends for, and it shows the obviously during the horror of war a lot of people died, and in the camps the concentrated populations meant that catastrophe did strike the camps as the terrible diseases of typhus and typhoid ravaged the camps, and I think this data shows the Germans doing their best to bring this terrible epidemic under control. And then there are some later figures, to which you also alluded, towards the end of the war, that show with the terrific intensity of British-American carpet bombing of Central Europe with 2 million tons of bombs, the complete destruction of infrastructure. Camps did not have food, and some of them, like Bergen-Belsen, didn't even have water. And with some of the camps, you get, especially in Germany, you get the terrific peak, dreadful peak in mortality at the end of 44 and 45. And again, figures tell a story here, that they show the awful catastrophe as the labour camps turned into death camps. I believe that's what they show us. If, as you say, the general public had access to these data, if students were allowed to study them, Diana, which they're not in my country, I don't know about America, then I think we would start having a sensible view of what happened in the labour camps, and the great religion of the Holocaust would fade away.
Right. And of course, I believe that that Britain and America and of course the Russians all concealed this data in order to, well, during the Cold War. I think that the Cold War served the purpose of concealing the records.
Yeah.
Of building up Israel, militarily, and yeah, of creating this Holocaust myth. And you also indicate in the book, in the death books, that the Soviets seized at Auschwitz when they liberated quote unquote Auschwitz, that the records show that there were some death certificates for about 70,000 people, of which most of them, that there were more deaths, more Catholic deaths at Auschwitz than there were Jewish deaths.
Correct. Yeah, that's what they show. Yeah. And say we go down to the number of Jewish deaths, say about 29,000. There are some death books missing. Okay, and there are certainly unregistered people who did not have their deaths recorded. Okay, and I would say you can push up that total around about 40,000 Jews dying in Auschwitz. I frankly don't think it's going to go any higher. And I do really, really wish that intelligent American students were allowed to study this data and judge these things, you know, instead of being given these hallucinatory figures, enormously large figures from totally unreliable sources. These sources we're talking about, the death books, the Allison Archive totals, from the International Red Cross. These are basic sources, and they give us real numbers. And as you say, these totals are not outrageously large. They're nothing like the figures that were given in the news and in the movies.
Right. And do you think that possibly the Cold War and, we have several decades of, between 4 and 5 decades of Hollywood movies and the idea that this Cold War, that all of a sudden the Soviets and the Americans are enemies, and meanwhile the Israeli state is being built up. Do you think that this farce of a Cold War allowed the myth to take hold and to be deeply embedded into the worldwide population? Do you think that the Cold War served to do that?
Yeah, let me say, first of all, Diana, the wonderful books I'm just looking at on your website show, I think, you've got obviously a very profound grasp of these matters. As a science historian, my approach is very much looking at the basic facts and the basic data whereby we can infer what happens. What I personally noticed was that as long as we had the nuclear holocaust, that was the big fear everybody had, and that lasted up until round about 1990, and suddenly, the communist menace was gone, and the haunting intensity of the Holocaust, which it has today, that has grown and grown ever since the nuclear Holocaust vanished, okay? I just note, the nuclear Holocaust is a correct use of the term. The term does mean a fiery event. It absolutely cannot refer to death by gassing. Even mass death by gassing, that is not properly called a Holocaust at all, okay? That's a fiery process, and there was the big fear hanging over us all of the nuclear Holocaust, now the terrific intensity, it's as if it's a spiritual cultural weakness of the American and British people. They do always need to be given an enemy. They don't have the capacity to fulfill their lives and live together without having an enemy to hate and fear. To be governed, you have this awful trick of manufacturing an enemy, drumming up an enemy, and once the communists could no longer be an enemy, then the old Nazis, even 70 years ago, can be drummed up as the enemy, and we get it every week in the papers now, Holocaust. And someone said to me, why is it people hate the Nazis more than they hate anyone else, far more than the communists or more than Muslims? It's as if the war just ended yesterday, not 70 years ago. We're given that intense hatred. Obviously, Nazi, Zion, they're almost the same word, almost the same letters, very, very similar ideologies. The having the enemy as the Nazi has the terrific implication for those in power that the Jews become the good guys. They become the embodiments of God's chosen people, because of the wicked Nazis who are wanting to exterminate 6 million Jews for no discernible reason, except that the Nazis were bad, then it follows that the Jews must be the good guys. That's the dualistic metaphysic of this new Holocaustian religion that the world is being given today. It basically incites race hate against Germany, okay? Holocaust belief is race hate, and it's race hate against Germany, and we've got to put a stop to it.
Indeed. One of our listeners, what you just said brought up the idea that is expressed in this email, and he says, the word Holocaust used to mean death on a large scale, especially by fire, but when the word became capitalized, its meaning was changed such that non-Jews can no longer be considered victims. Here's the Jewish version. When we burn the dinner and the whole thing goes up in smoke, do we call it a Holocaust? No. Why not? Because it has nothing to do with Jewish suffering. When Dresden was bombed and the whole city went up in smoke, did we call it a Holocaust? No. Why not? For the same reason. So I thank my listener for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah. I might suggest, if you can, avoid too much focus on Jews when you're talking about what happened in the German labor camps. That's what my book is about, what really happened. We're not denying anything. We're not deniers. were simply giving a historical account of what happened. And in the German labor camps, the administrators kept four different columns, types of people. There were Poles, Russians, Jews, and German political prisoners. And let's not talk as if the Jews were the only people there, okay?
Exactly.
In British intelligence decrypts, I may say, for a whole year they were getting these decrypts, overhearing what was happening in all the German labour camps because they cracked the German codes, and Jews are always referred to in a perfectly respectful manner. The Jews' ability to do all sorts of... They're trying to get useful industrial work out of the different inmates, this multicultural environment, and Jews are always referred to in a perfectly respectful manner. There's no hint of any Holocaust going on in the British intelligence decrypts. And people are sent out of the labour camps as well as coming in. It's not just you come in, oh, that's the end. People are sent out from Auschwitz. Thousands of people leave just as they come. And people are shuffled around the labour camps in this business of trying to get useful work out of the people.
Okay? Right.
But having said that, we can't avoid facing the fact that Jews are trying to take control of it. And if they're trying to take control of it, I suggest bringing up the fact that Jews who have claimed reparations from Germany after the war on the grounds of being Holocaust survivors are now up to about 6 million, okay? And Germany has coughed up well over 100 billion Deutschmarks in this business of paying reparations. So the total number of Jews who have applied for reparations, not all of them got it, is far greater than the total number of Jews who ever lived in areas of Europe under the control of the Nazis, okay? You've got about 3 million, some people say 4 million, my book estimates 3 million, around about, of Jews in the lands that came to be controlled by Germany in the war, okay? So roughly, very roughly, double that have held out their hand for compensation, and as Horison points out, this, they've absolutely negated their own story by doing this. The sheer number of Jews have held out their hand for reparations from Germany have basically nullified their own story.
Indeed. Now, these decrypts talk about what daily life in the camps, and there was no evidence of any final solution. None.
Well, what the final solution meant, Diana, Endlösung der Judenfrage, right, the Germany, that's the German, it meant the goal or end solution of the Jewish question. It didn't really mean final, and the goal solution was always territorial. I could have, in these decrypts, you don't hear that phrase, okay? But the decrypts were released in the mid-90s. They were kept secret for 50 years, and since they've been released, I think it's fair to say that virtually no British historians have been interested in them.
Right.
Because they're not showing the Holocaust.
Doctor, I'm sorry, we are going to a real quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Sorry to cut you off there. Be right back.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine. including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now, only at hempusa.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kohlerstrom. He is the author of this fabulous book, Breaking the Spell, The Holocaust, Myth and Reality. His website, the one that he is associated with, is whatreallyhappened.info. And you brought up the point of Holocaustianity in your book. You kind of made a comparison between Holocaustianity and Christianity, and how the Holocaustianity has really switched positions. And I really like what you said about that and how you compared it.
That's my experience, Dana. There's terrific, profound emotions. So it's a bit of an echo in this. In the Holocaustian religion, as compared, there's an awful echo up here. Are you hearing this?
Yes, you sound fine.
All right. I'm hearing an echo.
Okay, let me just see what Mr. Producer, we have an echo. Is there do you have anything on in the background, Doctor?
No.
Okay. And you've got your headset on. I have my headset on.
Yeah.
How does it sound now?
I'll just talk through it if I can. Let's just continue then. I think that the Holocaustian religion, that's better now, has pushed out the old religions and it's more contemporary. It feeds people's nihilism and despair as if that's what they need, and it gives them this terrific river of guilt. Oh, God, what we did to God's chosen people. As if that is some sort of nourishment, even in a very negative soul condition. And the old religions had some vision of glory that you could look forward to, whereas the Holocaustian religion has this vision of ghastly horror, of meaningless mass death for no reason, that everyone collectively has to believe in to be a good citizen. So it is a slave religion, okay? It's a slave religion, and a society that believes in it, the future will get worse for that society. Golgotha has been displaced now by Auschwitz, you get that any politician now can access deep emotions of the people by using the key words, you know, Hitler, Auschwitz, Jew, Holocaust, it functions just like a religion. And what I found, I published some scientific essays in 2006. I was in a history of science department at University College London, and I suddenly got thrown out. I was analysing the chemical residues, or looking at a couple of surveys people had done of how wherever cyanide was used in labour camps of World War II, it soaked right into the walls, and all you had to do was chip away at the walls and measure the cyanide, because it bonded with the iron in the walls, to measure iron cyanide. And I liked that simple, straightforward argument, but it was still there 60 years later because of that firm iron cyanide bond, okay? My mum was a school chemistry teacher, and so I put out these scientific studies, okay? Two or three essays up on the web. And when I got suddenly thrown out of my college and ethically damned by newspapers and blogs, what puzzled me was that nobody wanted to discuss what I said in these blogs. Instead, everyone was saying, oh, Nazi, oh, we found a Nazi. And oh, how wicked. And oh, how dreadful. All these years I knew this guy. I never realised he was a Nazi. And so on. And I realised that there was not going to be any discussion. The only way I could get discussion of this issue, which I still think is a very fascinating one, was to go on to a revisionist website, okay, which I then started doing. And that's how I gradually got a focus on this subject. And I had to apprehend that what I had thought or hoped could be a scientific discussion was totally overshadowed by a deep religious fervour, terrific fervour. Suddenly, this was far more important than anything else. You know, something had happened 70 years ago and 1,000 miles away in Poland was far more important than any 21st century issue. I had to try and figure out, why is this so? And I think it is a religious type thing that's happened. I mean, people believe in the Holocaust a bit like they believe in the Exodus, you know. They're both grandiose stories which probably didn't happen, and brewed up by the same people. I think we need to try and hold on to belief in scientific rationality, whereby you started off by talking about, you know, basic statistical surveys that showed how many people lived and died in the German labour camps, Diana. Well, I think that's what we need to do. We need some real arithmetic, not stuff brewed up. I mean, right through the 20th century, we had this incantation of 6 million Jews. That's what it is. It's an incantation to numb thought, right? It started off at the end of the 19th century, and it kept being repeated all through the beginning of the 20th century. 6 million Jews. Started off in Russia. 6 million Jews are in danger, you know. Then in Europe. And it was an American fundraising ploy, okay? Especially during the First World War, to get funding for Jews by the 6 million Jews in Europe that were in danger. And then it ended up, 6 million Jews in Nazi Germany. And then suddenly at Nuremberg, 6 million Jews had been gassed, or most of them had been gassed.
Right. Okay, we are going to a 3-minute. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kohlerstrom. He is the author of a wonderful book called Breaking the Spell, The Holocaust, Myth and Reality, and he is associated with the website whatreallyhappened.info. And what provoked your interest in 2007? Now, I know that you're a scientist, and a historian. What provoked your interest in this particular subject?
Well, Diana, as a science historian, I decided to major in this subject because I feel that controversial aspects in the development of science need to be critiqued and investigated. Okay, and the thing I looked at, which is how delousing technology worked in World War II, may seem a rather boring subject, I think that's exactly what science historians should be doing, okay? And the whole Holocaust mythology has come about because of failure of science historians, that they have not done this. You can't read anything by science historians about how that delousing technology worked, and that is because at Nuremberg, the hallucination, whatever you want to call it, was perpetrated, whereby the Zyklon was, the actual normal use of it was forgotten, but it was actually used to kill bugs, not Jews, and had clothes put into the delousing chambers, not people. That was forgotten, and the hallucinatory idea of a room stacked full of people, all Jews, nearly all, forget about the other people, and you shower this stuff in through holes in the ceiling, which clearly didn't exist anywhere in any authentic historical building. That is a hallucination, and science historians ought to be doing their job. That's exactly why the subject exists, to critique science when it goes wrong. I feel that is what has happened. I think there is academic timidity here of not looking at how... it was a normal technology for about 40 years, beginning of the century up to about 45, how Zyklon was used. After that, it was replaced by DDT. That's used after the war for killing bugs. That's what all your listeners will have heard about. There are very simple scientific aspects of this problem. If people had been gassed with cyanide, they would end up a bright pink colour. You'd have piles of bright pink, shocking bright pink bodies, and not a single one of those was ever reported in any German labour camp. This that should show you. And also the walls go blue. If you're really using Zyklon in a big human gas chamber, you'd end up with blue walls because of the iron cyanide is blue. And you don't get that. You get the blue walls in the little remains of the delousing chamber, which were written out of the history books until the revisionists started going there. So there's very simple, straightforward science here. I majored in the history of science just because I believe that's the sort of thing you should be looking at. Maybe I'm a bit iconoclastic, you know, anti-establishment character, whatever, but I just started looking at this.
Okay. And you're talking about, too, the two scientific investigations, one done by Fred Leuchter, and then a couple of years later, Germar Rudolph, who is a chemist, went over. And you've kind of combined those two and they both show the exact same thing. And then you also talked about Nuremberg and the reason why they could produce this figure. And the reason, you also mentioned, there's so many things in your book to bring out, that it was a military tribunal, which means that the defense could not present any evidence because it was a military tribunal.
No, they weren't allowed to. No, that was the point of the military. Justice had nothing to do with it. It was a procedure for lynching, for making up retroactive laws, and then judging the defeated Germans as guilty and lynching them, and extracting the confessions under torture. That was the most horrific thing, which a lot of citizens don't know about, the torture of Germans to get them to try and confess to the gas chamber story. And obviously Rudolf Hess, the commandant of Auschwitz, was the great success there. That was the great triumph of the Nuremberg trial. After torturing him for 3 days and three nights, he eventually came out with his story of how he gassed 2 million Jews. He signed it. It was written out for him to sign, and he signed it. So that was actually a complete travesty of justice at Nuremberg. It's as if the purpose of the war wasn't just to defeat Germany physically, but to destroy it morally and spiritually.
Right. And the story about his torture, the information about this torture, did not become known until 1983, nearly 40 years later.
Yeah, that is so important, Dan. I'm glad you mentioned that. For all those years, people thought it was a real confession. You know, they believed it. And it wasn't until a book came out about this British Army hit team that got hold of Hoss and tortured him and told the story. And the great master of modern revision, a chap called Forison, realised what was going on. And he basically told the story. And that's how revisionists came to understand what
Indeed.
Had really happened. Yeah.
And a group of people beat him quite badly in 1989. So I think the revisionists have really suffered greatly. I mean, you lost your position in 2008 at the university after teaching there for 15 years. All of a sudden, you were done.
Yeah. Well, Forison, yeah, he has suffered badly. Let's remember his great definition of what revisionism is. He said it's a quest for historical exactitude. Now, that is what it's all about. It's not a political program. They're always trying to make out you're involved in some political agenda. you know, that you've got some right-wing political agenda. Well, no, we haven't actually. We're just angry at being lied to, and we want the truth, you know.
Right. Now, do you think that that the propaganda was just so intense, and the testimonies that were given through the Shoah Foundation and elsewhere, and the Hollywood movies, do you think that all of this was so strong? Obviously, it was very, very effective and very influential.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it certainly, all of this was proposed, all of this was presented with absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever. And when you think about it,
they couldn't produce a single gas body at Nuremberg, you know. They couldn't produce any documents. No document showing an intention to exterminate Jews. No document showing the construction of a human gas chamber. No documents recording the process happening. No photographs. They've got a huge amount of Nazi records and stuff, but they can't find any trace of a Holocaust going on. I mean, when the British intelligence secrets came out, they're finally released. You had a British historian apologising. Oh no, it's so awful. Because we failed to realise the Holocaust was going on in the decrypts. Well, no, it just wasn't happening, you know. And so still today, it's if people are hypnotised. Why are historians not books being published on the Holocaust which don't allude to the British intelligence decrypts? Why don't they just miss them out? Because they're the most authoritative, authentic possible source. And they don't show any Holocaust going on. It's as if people are somehow, as you say, hypnotized by the immensity of the propaganda. I mean, we had one historian in Britain who I think will be remembered, history will be remembered. He did really try to get authentic data, and that's David Irving. And he got so heavily vilified and broken that, you know, I think he's rather emotionally damaged. But, I think his history books will be respected in the future as real history.
Right. But he lost his home. He had to sell his home to pay the court cost. And, of course, his books were they were trashed. They were burned.
Yeah.
Indeed. And then you also mention in your book about Dr. Charles Lawson, and going back to the reason for death was actually from famine and disease, particularly typhus. And he was a U.S. Army pathologist who went and visited numerous camps and determined that the people died from those three causes, famine, disease, and not from any gassing. Or autopsies and whatnot, and yet, what did he later recant his testimony?
Not at all. No, certainly not. No, he was a famous American pathologist, and he wrote his book Coroner to the Stars. Obviously, he has to be slightly oblique in the way he expresses this to not have been damned as a Holocaust denier all his life. But I think it's pretty clear what you just said is absolutely his attitude. And later on, after he published that book, he was then quoted in his local newspaper saying there never was a case of poisoning by gas found in the German labour camps, that there never was any. He was sent after the war to Dachau and the camps to find out what mortality was due to, and he was put under pressure to say it, to come out with the usual story, and he wouldn't. He knew what he'd seen there, and as you say, he did not recant, no.
Indeed. Well, it's just interesting when you look back at it, and I think we all grew up believing that the Holocaust happened because of the pervasive propaganda. But when you look back at it and start looking at it very scientifically and very logically and realize that the U.S. government also used Cyclone B for the exact same purpose before they used DDT, then you have to think, well, just the numbers alone, and the fact that there weren't 6 million Jews under German jurisdiction, that people actually have an addiction to fiction, a phrase that was given to me by a friend, And I think that people love fiction. And
do you think the problem is that the story of mass gassings and, oh, you know, there go my parents up the chimney, that is so dramatic, and the reality of the delousing protocols is rather mundane and boring. Do you think there's a problem that the fantasy of all these Jews queuing up to walk into the gas chambers, that is somehow so exciting? Do you think that's the problem?
Sure. And one's from different country, the smoke was a different color. And I mean, why wouldn't anybody ask that? But I think, like in my own case...
Just go through that again, Dinah. The smoke being a different color. Just explain that again.
There's some hocus pocus about the smoke from different Jews from different countries produced a different color of smoke, and then there of course is Eli Wiesel, yeah, however you say it. He was talking in his book Night about these gushers of blood that came out of the ground, and you think, wait a minute. I mean, can anybody really, really believe this stuff?
Well, that shows how religion is formed. I mean, he is the Messiah of the Holocaust. His book has sold 12 million copies right now. It does not have any gas chambers in, because it was published quite early, you see.
Right.
Before the gas chamber myth had really taken form. And he has huge piles of burning corpses, as if human bodies were inflammable. His whole book is as if you can burn human bodies by throwing them onto piles, okay? And thousands of them burn, and you can see the fire a long way off. Well, actually, you know, this is where we need to teach real science in our schools. Actually, kids, does this sound likely to you? Are human bodies actually inflammable? You know, or you ask an Indian who does cremation how much trouble it is to burn a body. And you know, we can perhaps start to live in the real world a bit. I mean, Eli Wiesel hasn't got a tattoo on his arm. He is the world's biggest liar. It's an identity theft. He's taken the tattoo number of someone else with a similar name. But he has imagined the terrific hallucinatory power of the Holocaust image. And as you say, Diana, that is a real metaphor of God's chosen people. You know, the blood of God's chosen people has to rise up towards the heaven. After it's buried underground, the very earth itself trembles, and the blood of God's chosen people then rises up to heaven. You know, that is a religious story. I'm tempted to say like some of the stories in the Old Testament. And it is the Holocaustian religion. If you believe that, you know, you'll believe anything.
Sure. And I like the way that you have said this in the book. It says, you say, traditional Christian theology was reversed. Instead of Jews being responsible for killing Jesus, now Christians are charged for the murder of Jews in the Holocaust. It is recognized as a negative culmination of Christianity. So, Christianity lost its basis to exist and must be replaced by a new religion. Works of Holocaust religion converts are full of overwhelming, poisonous, and blasphemous nihilism, matching the aggressive atheism of communists.
Yeah, totally right. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well,
yes.
Well, what can I say? Yeah, I think this is gripping a hold of the world, this Holocaustian religion, and I urge listeners to say no to it.
Right.
Don't be a believer.
And of course they take children to Auschwitz, and that has become a new church or temple or whatever. And of course, when you look at all the Holocaust museums throughout the world,
Right. Well, in my country, they get taught, brainwashed. They get it rammed down their throat about the age of seven onwards. It's the most heavily taught thing in the school syllabus today. I mean, I've asked various people about this. They get Holocausted out with history classes, drama classes, religion classes, and they're never allowed to discuss the matter. I mean, I'm saying about my partner, someone who teaches history at schools, you know, she has to all wearing these funny striped pajamas and stuff. You know, are you allowed to let them discuss the matter? Can you give them two sides of the matter. Can you let them debate it? No, no. It's the brain is switched off, and given this not so much history, more trauma-based mind control, and they're damaged by it. Once you say that, you know, millions of Jews are killed for absolutely no reason, you damage the soul of a kid, not to mention creating deep hatred against Germany. And this should not be allowed. It really shouldn't.
Certainly. Well, I know people who have, and young people are very vulnerable, and as you say, they are damaged by it. But I know people who have just, when they discovered it, when they were told about it, oh, we're going to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kohlerstrom, and he is the author of Breaking the Spell, The Holocaust, Myth and Reality, and the website is whatreallyhappened.info. I was looking in your book. Well, I have it all highlighted and everything. I have so many bookmarks in here. But we were talking about Elie Wiesel, and he's the greatest liar. And you know that in 1981, I never know how to pronounce this. When I met this scoundrel in about 1988-89.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they introduced him as Elie Wiesel. But anyway, he proclaimed that Christianity had died at Auschwitz and that Pius XII allegedly helped Hitler to carry out the Holocaust. So it's very interesting that that actually more Catholics died at Auschwitz than Jews, but now you have a pope and Catholics who are embracing this holo guilt, as you call it, and we have a pope who is kneeling down before the Holocaust. I mean,
I think the wartime pope did a wonderful job of trying to, I mean, he tried to help a lot of Jews, and he tried to obviously try to avoid taking sides too much in the war. Like just about everyone else throughout the time, he did not think that there was a Holocaust going on, which he later gets blamed for. Just as Catholic Church apologised for that, just as the International Red Cross has gobbled with apology for failing to apprehend that the Holocaust was going on, just as British intelligence has apologised for failing to apprehend that the Holocaust was going on. I mean, you might ask, who was there around in the war who did think the Holocaust was going on? You'd read any of the great histories of the war by, you know, Eisenhower, by Winston Churchill, by de Gaulle, huge histories. None of them have any trace of any Holocaust going on or gas chambers. You know, the authentic memories of people there don't actually have a Holocaust going on. I mean, you can read the Italian Primo Levi, a Jew at Auschwitz, who his text is "If This Be a Man." He moans and complains about absolutely everything at Auschwitz, as if he was in purgatory. But the fact is, he gets fed and clothed, and he doesn't see anyone shot or killed or gassed, and he has some interesting industrial work to do. Although obviously he complains about everything, but I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any authentic source of somebody who was there who claimed they did see it going on. So I don't think the Catholics should apologize at all for their pope.
And they've thrown out Bishop Williamson, have not supported when he discovered what he thought about the Holocaust and did some research on it and whatnot. They actually threw him out.
For 20 years. He was a marvelous bishop in America, wasn't he?
Yes, exactly. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back in 3 minutes. And those decrypts went directly to Churchill. He knew there was nothing going on. He knew that. Okay, we'll be right back.